Welcome back to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman.
Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Angela. And joining us right now, we have Erin McClellan in studio.
Hey, ladies. How you doing?
We're good. Thanks for coming in today.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Always a pleasure to have you. We have a lot of fun talking to you, and it's fun to have girl time. You know, we just put it out there, and we just like, man, we say what we want.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we were kind of talking a little bit about all of the big tech companies that people may not realize. I know there's you said there's an article in the Wall Street Journal today. I know I seen a headline I didn't get a chance to read this morning. But that's a lot of big tech names dropping a significant amount of money into lobbying in Washington.
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal article, again, this is in the Wall Street Journal. This is not the New York Times or the Washington Post. Has a whole article, and it's very big, on Comcast lobbying and how massive it is. If you look at what Comcast spent on lobbying in 2010, it was about $60 billion. In 2014, only 4 years later, it was $149 billion.
Oh my
so
God.
It more than doubled in those 4 years. Comcast gave President Obama's reelection campaign $337,000 from their employees. And of the 10 leading corporate spenders on lobbying, three are phone and cable companies.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
And that's unexpected. Usually you expect to hear those numbers from energy companies.
Banking. That's our top lobbying
healthcare.
Industry. Is banking and healthcare.
Yeah.
But it's particularly telecom. Boy, are they climbing on this one. And right now, I mean, Comcast is getting it from both ends because they had the merger with Time Warner, which everybody's going after them for as far as an antitrust issue. That merger gives them 40%, control of 40% of our internet service in the country.
I'm pretty 40%. Sure the whole point
Wait,
of
that
this telecom...
What's that?
Did that actually go through? I thought that was stopped.
Well, it's under investigation right now.
Okay.
For antitrust violation to make sure, and the Federal Communications Commission is looking into it.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. If I'm not mistaken, I'm assuming this would apply to internet. I know for a fact it does for phones, that there's only so much of a percentage of the market that they are allowed to own. And I thought it was like 30%.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'll have to look into it. But like I said, if this merger is solid, then they get 40%. So that's
wow.
obviously a huge
That's a big
interest.
Problem.
Yeah.
That's a big problem.
Yeah.
No wonder they're dumping so much money into lobbying.
And actually, the article talks about, you know, net neutrality. And this is where Silicon Valley's on one side and telecom companies are on the other. Obviously, Silicon Valley wants net neutrality. And what the article says is that when the rumors started going around that the president was going to support aggressive efforts to maintain net neutrality and fairness, on internet service providers, Comcast called him right away trying to find out what was going on, and Valerie Jarrett refused to give any information. So they had a very difficult time lobbying because they couldn't get the information as far as what they wanted to lobby against. But if you read this, it is insane how much control Comcast alone has because of what they're spending.
I mean, I've called Comcast the big evil bully in the past, but I definitely think this still applies and stands here. I mean, it's... You know, the mighty will fall eventually. So much power is only good whenever you use it correctly. And I just don't feel like that's happening in this instance.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. Yeah, this is, if you control the flow of information, then you control everything. You know, you can do anything you want. You can sabotage anything you want. You can manipulate anything you want. You can control how content is accessed, who sees it and when they see it and mm-hmm. how often they see it. This is the flow of information. And to go from where we were at one point, you know, in the 80s when people still had, you know, public access television and, you know, cable was just starting to happen, to this where mm-hmm. we're getting so much information through cable and internet, and to see it controlled, that there's no longer true public access anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're trying to regulate this like a utility. And I think that I think everybody here is in agreement that this is a public utility.
Completely.
This is a necessity in today's
yeah.
day and age.
And so it's a very complex, confusing topic. And I know something that just infuriates me. The past 2 days, actually, I've seen these commercials running on like WPXI, like the local news stations that like they know everybody watches around the news time. And it's this broadband group coming together and saying that like they don't need to classify this as a Title II. This doesn't need to be utility, that's bad for you. And so many of these people, they just watch this stuff, they don't know, they don't necessarily get it, and they're just gonna go, oh, that company said it's bad and I watched it while the news was on, so I'm just gonna go with it. And it's just it's working in the favor of people like Comcast, pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think, the big debate that we're seeing is this is very anti-competitive, mm-hmm. What we're seeing happen. This would never be allowed in an electric company or a gas company. Yeah. This would be really restricted. Telecom companies are very highly regulated, but I think that we can all agree when you want clean water and you want reasonable energy prices, and then you want somebody stepping in and making sure it's fair, because mm-hmm. this isn't something that we should be grossly profiteering on, or worse yet, restricting access. Mm-hmm. So, this is the big debate right now, is internet access and telecom, is that a utility or is it a service? And I think that's going to be the big debate in Washington. But Ted Cruz called net neutrality the Obamacare of the internet. I think we talked about that last week. And is that one hilarious.
We've also talked about the fact that Ted Cruz is a special person just all around.
Yeah, he is. He's very special. He's actually changed his tune on that. So apparently somebody got to him.
Oh, yeah. Probably Comcast was just like, hey, man, that's not cool. We're giving you all this money. We paid you. Like, we just paid your salary tenfold. Like, come on.
Well, they would be against it, but I think, and I talked a little last week about this, I think that they're trying to look like they're conceding on net neutrality so they can make sure that Comcast can maintain its monopoly, because that's the more important issue.
Well, Comcast has already shown here that they've stuck their foot in a couple things that they probably shouldn't have. They've been investigated, and I thought they pretty much got in trouble for throttling people's internet because they were talking about slowing things down. I know that they've changed their on-demand and stuff like that, and the whole point of their video on-demand services is they want to deter you from using other services. And I know in some markets they even like blocked HBO, something you can go pay for, but the catch with HBO is you can't have it unless you're basically your service carries it, like Verizon or like Comcast or something to that effect. And in some places you were not allowed to have it because of there was no agreement with Comcast and HBO. They were essentially in that way blocking content.
And that's even a further debate when you look at things like years ago when I think it was ESPN had a big debate with Comcast and everybody lost their ESPN, or maybe it was NFL Network. I
forget. Like that.
Because I remember we actually changed service providers because my husband was so furious. And you look at it and that's information. Is it a service? Because, you know, it's a sports channel. Or is is HBO a service or is it a utility? And
true.
You know,
that's an interesting question.
Yeah, because I mean, is HBO essential for us to function day to day?
So
where does the line of getting just access to news and information stop and basically luxury start? Yeah. So it's a really fascinating debate.
I guess my point of that was they were trying to, in a sense, almost the starting of dictating like what content you can see.
Sure.
If you have them, we're deciding whether or not, you know, we don't like them, so you don't get access to HBO if you're a Comcast customer.
Sure.
So it's just like they're dictating like what you can and cannot see. So like, okay, you're a Game of Thrones fan, and they're dictating, nope, sorry, you don't get it.
And that's the nice thing about if you have a true free market. Like I said, mm-hmm. we actually changed service providers because my husband said, I'm absolutely not going without the station. I don't remember what we switched to. I think we switched from Comcast to some sort of satellite. But you know, you had that option. If this keeps happening with these mergers, you're not going to have that option. They're gonna have you strung up where you have to accept what they'll give you, and you're at their mercy, and that's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very bad. I think this I would compare this debate of like what's essential and what is not essential to clothes, actually.
Sure.
You know, clothing is essential. Is a $900 coat essential? Probably not.
Sure.
But you need clothing. So it's interesting, this graduating scale. Like, how do you figure that out? But unfortunately, we have to run. Thanks for joining us, Erin.
No problem, ladies. Always a pleasure.
We love having you. That's Erin McCullen. I'm Angela Bachman here with Brittany Sheets, and you're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
Hey, it's me, your piggy bank. Remember when you were a little kid? All the dimes and quarters in my back. Yeah, that was good times. Good times. Now, lately, I gotta be honest, you've been ignoring me. Money's been slipping through your hands like a greased pig. Get it? Because I'm a... Anyway, I know how it is. Now that you get a real paycheck, it's nice to have stuff. You'll start saving money next year. Well, I hate to tell you, but good saving habits start now. Put just 20 bucks in the bank a month. Make your own coffee at home instead of that latte every morning. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Those changes alone could save you thousands of dollars a year. Come on, I'm your piggy bank. We can be together again, me and you, the special times. Anyway, if you don't want me to cry anymore, feed me. Go to feedthepig.org for more ideas on how to save. Feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through.
Do your part by going to boostup.org and giving a student the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. My name is Angela Bachman, and I'm here with Brittany Sheets this afternoon.
Hey, everyone.
And right now, we also have Chris Garlock from the DC Labor Council. Chris, welcome back.
Hey, greetings from the nation's capital. How you guys doing?
We're good.
Having some fun. It's Friday.
It is Friday. It's been a long week, I tell you what. Hey, we've got some cool stuff going on. We've got a bowling tournament on Sunday. One of these years, you guys got to come and bowl with us.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I love bowling.
It's a lot of fun. We've got teams, all the different unions send all these different teams, and there's bowling, and it's all for a good cause because it raises money for the Community Services Agency's Emergency Assistance Fund. So
we need stuff like this up here. Like, you guys do all this fun stuff when you get everybody across the board to participate. We need to start some of the stuff up in Pittsburgh.
You know, It's really easy because, you know, you can just go to a bowling alley. They're very welcoming, and they're fun places, good folks. And here's the interesting thing. You know, we do the bowling tournament, we do the golf tournament, and it's really different crowds. There's the bowling crowd, there's the golf crowd. You know, we've got our film fest. It's a film fest crowd, and it's kind of neat. You want to give folks all different kinds of things to do. But bowling this Sunday, 10 a.m. and 1 o'clock, if folks still want to get in, Kathleen can probably still squeeze a few more folks in. I think we've got a few lanes left, but we'll be there. We'll be, I'll be tweeting some photos, and we'll have a report on Monday. But it's gonna be a fun time. So
well, that sounds fun. Sounds like a great way to spend the weekend.
I tell you what, Monday. Just want to remind folks, it's our council meeting, 6:30. It's our monthly council meeting. Lots of fun stuff on the agenda. We got to get some reports. Teamsters are still on strike. We talked about that earlier this week, so we'll get a report from them. We've got a couple of special elections coming up here in D.C. to fill a couple of vacant council slots. So we're going to be, I tell you what, just this, the fun never stops around here politically, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's totally. Definitely true. Do you have any updates on the Teamsters, by the way?
I don't. I know that they had a meeting last night, and I'm waiting to hear what happened at the meeting. So
okay.
I don't know if no news is good news or bad news, to be honest. So I'm in the dark at the moment. But as soon as I know anything, you know, we'll post it. And like I say, we're hoping to have some of the strikers come to the council meeting on Monday so we can hear directly from them what the latest news is on that. So we'll see. And then the nurses, by the way, and I talked to you about this back before the holidays, you know, they went on a one-day strike, and then they got locked out for 10 days, and that situation, I mean, they're back, obviously, that's at Washington Hospital Center, and I'm trying to get an update on that for you as well, because I know that the issues that they went out over have not been resolved, so I'm not sure, you know, whether more actions are planned, and hopefully we will find out about that on Monday as well. And then the other big topic Monday, and this is our lead story in Union City today, has to do with Evening with Labor, which is our sort of annual black tie event. It's quite posh, and we do it up at the Omni, which is a great union hotel here in town. And We've got our winners of our annual awards that are going to be made. And our top winner is a guy named Tommy Ratliff, who actually heads up Teamsters Local 639. Very nice photo of Tommy on our website, dclabor.org. But that's just, Tommy's a great guy. That's a great local, one of our really active locals. You know, one of the folks that whenever there's a rally or event, you know, there's always some Teamsters. In fact, I walked with Tommy at a couple of weeks ago when we did a demo outside the trade representative's office on the latest trade deal, and Tommy was there with some of his business agents, you know, and so he's the kind of guy that he does that, you know, and nobody would fault him if he didn't, you know, show up for that, but he does, because that's just the way that Tommy is. So he really deserves this. That's a top award, and you know, that's an award that we don't award it every year necessarily. If we don't feel that there's somebody who's really earned it, then we'll just skip a year. But you know, Tommy's been around, he's paid his dues, and we're happy to do that. But there's a bunch of other winners. I'll talk more about that over the next few weeks. But all the winners are up on our website now. Folks are going to want to, you know, get their tickets, and also unions and other supporters are want to, you know, get their ads out in the program book, because that's, again, supports the Emergency Assistance Fund. But it's a fun event. In fact, we had a training session this morning with a photographer named Bill Burke, who I've been working with for years, and we were talking about how much fun Bill has, you know, shooting the photos for that, because, you know, all these folks that I always see on picket lines and rallies and so forth, and then I don't even recognize them when they show up at Evening with Labor because they got the tux on, the cummerbund, you know, I'm like, who is that?
That's true. Everyone's, it's really so funny. Fancy. When you see people dressed up like that you don't see like that at all every day, it's such a weird feeling. You're just like, oh, I did not recognize you. Not at all. That's what you look like cleaned up.
Have you ever introduced yourself to somebody and then afterward realized you know them?
All the time. It's just kind of embarrassing, to be honest. I actually have a pretty good memory for faces, but, you know, I'd be like, who was that?
It's like being at that family reunion and those people just start coming up to you like, oh, I remember you when you were so little, and you're just like, I have no idea who you are.
You know, I used to really be embarrassed, and just because I had just a terrible memory for names, and at a certain point a few years ago, I was like, just own this. I'm just like, I am really, really sorry. I am an idiot. I recognize you. I know you. But, you know, the other thing is that if you have several worlds that you inhabit, like I have four very different worlds, you know, and so I may meet somebody in a completely other context. I completely, like, recognize them. And especially because, you know, I see so many of my labor friends around town. And then if I see them, like, at the grocery store or something, you know, shopping with their kid, you know, I'm like, I know you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That happens all the time. Especially, it was really funny when I was up at school. I was like, I went to school 3 hours from where I live at home. And I'd be up there, and there was like a lot of people from my local area here in Pittsburgh, up in State College sometimes, and kids I'd seen from like other schools because I was really involved in sports. So I was like, I'd see someone on campus. I'm like, I know that I know you from somewhere. And it's just that weird feeling, but you like, and then it clicks like, oh, I used to run against you in track all the time. And it's just like you're in a different place, but like you still see those people and you've run into them. You know them, and you're just like, that's weird in this setting.
My wife teases me about it all the time because I'll bump into somebody, you know, I'm out and about with her, and I have a long conversation with the person. Like, I could bump into you. We'd have a long conversation, and afterwards she'll say, who was that? I was like, yeah, I don't know who that was. She's like, but you had this whole conversation. Well, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I know them, but I don't know. I don't really know who they're.
I couldn't tell you what their name is.
All right, Chris. Well, we got to run. Any last words for us today?
No, follow us on DC Labor and at DC Labor on Twitter, and you will be in the know.
Great. And do you have any tickets left for that black tie affair?
Oh, absolutely. For you guys, no problem.
Awesome. Okay, thanks. That was Chris Garlick from the DC Labor Council. I'm Angela Bachman here with Brittany Sheets on the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm John Kerr. President Obama's State of the Union address called for, among other things, expanded access to community college and more subsidies for education and childcare by raising taxes on high-income earners and banks. Many conservative pundits have criticized Obama's economic policies as class warfare and giveaways. For example, here's Wall Street Journal editorial board member Jason Riley on Fox News on the record.
This is just class warfare. I think it polls well. That whole speech last night that he hit on words and phrases that poll well, millionaires, billionaires, trust funds. I'm surprised the vice president didn't work in a Koch brother reference there somewhere. That polls well among the left as well.
And radio host Rush Limbaugh.
They have been trying to get everybody hyped up for it. Oh, and it's going to be so revelatory. It's going to be so important, so meaningful. Obama is going to announce the next Santa Claus list and blah, 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 blah.
The president's policy proposals would potentially generate $320 billion over 10 years. For more on this and other stories, please visit MediaMatters.org.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college, which ends up making the future better for all of us. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
At risk of losing your home in a foreclosure? We can help. We'll deal with your bank, lower your principal. We'll buy you a pony, give you the ability to fly. We'll let you ride a unicorn. We'll give you a...
If you're facing foreclosure, who should you trust? The Hope Hotline is a free resource connecting you with HUD-approved housing counseling agencies available 24 hours a day who can give you the information and clarity you need. Call the Hope Hotline at 888-995-HOPE. That's 888-995-4673. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace. Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
This is Ryan Tedder from One Republic. The beat of our new song, Feel Again, was created with heartbeats of children in need. Find out how it can help frontline health workers save millions of children at everybeatmatters.org.
Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Union Edge Laborist Talk Radio. I'm Angela Bachman, and I'm here with Brittany Sheets.
Hey, everyone.
And we have been talking a little bit about net neutrality. We've been talking about telecom in general. We've been talking about robots. It's been a technology kind of day.
I love talking about this stuff, partially just because of that was my major in college. And I just love the field. I've always been one of these like geeky people. I kind of get it, honestly, from my dad and my uncle. My uncle is always, he's built computers forever. My dad is like knee deep in that stuff all the time. So like, I kind of always been like that. Like, I love being up on the technology and what's coming out and what's next. And something that was really cool when I was in college is I took a lot of classes about telecom and the ins and outs and the big companies and what happens when and how does it work and the rules that a lot of people don't necessarily understand and see. And something that it's really, I'm glad that I know the understanding of is the net neutrality thing, just because of it. It's very complex and it's very confusing. And honestly, the first couple years of me being in school, I didn't always totally get it because it's so complex and it's a lot of big words and terminology. And yeah, I know. I will even admit, when I first took my class essentially on like the workings of telecom and net neutrality, I didn't do so hot. I mean, I got like a B by the end of it, but it was a hard class to understand. And something that I hope that people can understand through us talking about this a lot, especially because there's going to be some stuff coming up in the government here soon. They're going to be trying to pass some bills and do some regulations on it. And it's really important to understand what it is so you can lobby your congresspeople and tell them, yes, I support this. No, I don't support this. No, I don't like that you guys have this idea and want to do this to this. And keep in mind what would be good for the general public and not what the giant telecom companies that are lobbying at Capitol Hill really want.
And also think about how you feel these services will be in the future, because technology moves so fast that what is happening right at this moment isn't going to last very long. And it's kind of that, I think to me, that's maybe the trickiest part, is trying to project what could be. But mm-hmm. You know that the companies are certainly doing that. So you need to be in their playing field, I suppose.
Something that I find is it's very interesting, but it's very concerning to me. And I definitely want to bring awareness to it. And it's the whole... the companies like Comcast getting so big that they can dictate what content you have and what content you listen to. And we really need to watch out for that and watch how much power we give them, guys, because before you know it, they could be pulling the strings before it's too late. And that's just something to keep in mind here while we go. And you guys are going to listen to a bit of little news here coming up for a few minutes. And then we've got some awesome State of the Union stuff to talk about. So I'm Brittany Sheets, and you've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
The third and final phase in the civil trial over the massive Deepwater Horizon oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico begins today, determining the penalties against BP for violations of the Clean Water Act. BP was already found grossly negligent and largely responsible for the environmental disaster, and now the trial turns to how much the British oil giant will be fined. David Muth with the National Wildlife Federation says the range is from about $3 billion to a maximum of just under $14 billion.
And because the judge has ruled gross negligence, then one would expect something moving toward the higher end. You know, you spill it, you clean it up, you pay for the cleanup, you pay for the response.
The amount will be based on evidence presented during this phase on BP's response to the spill, along with the judge's determination that more than 3 million barrels of oil ended up in the Gulf. Now, 80% of the fines levied will be sent to Texas and the other states along the Gulf Coast for recovery efforts under the Restore Act. And Muth says among the most notable impacts locally is the apparent link between the spill and the decline of the world's most endangered sea turtle.
The Kemp's Ridley has a significant breeding population on Padre Island, and those young Kemp's Ridleys were out in the middle of the spill and coming back into Texas for nesting. And so for Texas, it was really about the resources that were affected more than about the beaches that were oiled or the marshes that were oiled.
The BP Deepwater Horizon disaster happened on April 20th of 2010 when 11 people lost their lives in the explosion and fire, also found to be liable, although to a much lesser extent, were BP's contractors, Transocean, which owned the mobile drilling rig, and Halliburton, which was responsible for the cementing operations. John Michelson, Texas News Service.
Don't get discouraged. That's the message being sent to New York's undocumented immigrants in the aftermath of the House vote to halt deferred action on deportations. Marianne Sinclair Slutsky with Long Island Wind says there are upwards of 70,000 estimated undocumented people on the island who stand to benefit from Obama's executive order, allowing some undocumented immigrants to obtain work permits.
We urge the immigrant community to continue preparing their documents. We feel confident that this is not going to become law, and people should continue to prepare to apply.
The Republican-controlled House voted to defund Obama's executive action on Friday and to halt the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program known as DACA. 26 Republicans voted no on the DACA measure, and Slutsky says there is little chance either provision will be approved by the Senate or withstand a veto. Obama's executive order only provides a 3-year work authorization, but Slutsky says that grant of legal status means powerful benefits for both undocumented New Yorkers and the local economy.
They can get better jobs. They can get a driver's license. They can buy a house. You know, even buying a car and getting car insurance, I mean, that's putting money into the economy and paying even more taxes. So it's really kind of a no-brainer.
Lawmakers voting to defund the measure say the action was needed to show the president he cannot ignore the rules of Congress, but Slutsky says lawmakers need to stop wasting time on fear-based legislation and get to work on fixing the broken immigration system.
All they're doing is just saying, we don't like this, we don't want it. Where does it leave our immigrant families? Where does it leave our communities? They have come up with nothing that will fix our broken immigration system.
Obama's action is also being challenged by a number of states and federal court, but Slutsky says every president from Eisenhower forward has taken executive action on immigration reform. She predicts the courts will uphold Obama's order. Mike Clifford, New York News Connection.
The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio, reminds you to register to vote, educate yourself on the issues, be part of the process.